Well, well, well. Penguins fans got a bit of a surprise on Saturday. Brian Rust signed a new deal with the team. 6 years with an average annual value of $5.125 million. That's a total figure of $30.75 million. Rusty's going to join me on the program about a half an hour from now at 3:30. And this is a real good deal for the player and the team. Rusty undoubtedly left some money on the table, but he got crazy good term. 6 years, but he definitely left money on the table, like about $1 million per year. A bit less, perhaps. But that's smart by Rust because he gets to keep playing on a line with Sidney Crosby and Jake Guentzel. Rust has become a legit goal scorer these past 3 years. 73 goals in 171 games. And without Crosby, those numbers definitely shrank. Is less money worth better numbers at age 30? To me, no. I'll be honest. And Rusty probably would have got 6 years on a deal elsewhere, like Detroit, but I don't blame Rusty. And now I bet the Penguins keep either Malkin or Letang. We'll debate which they should a little bit later. But if you sign Rust, as they did, and then you keep Malkin or Letang, then there's no way Sid can possibly be unhappy. At the very least, he's got his whole line back, and it's one of the best in the league. So that's good news for the Penguins and for Penguins fans. To be 100% honest, I never saw that coming. I thought Rust was for sure gone. This is the Mark Madden Show. You like it, you love it, you want more of it. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. In terms of signing Letang or Malkin, you might see the Penguins trade term. More term for a little less money. That's clearly what they did with Rust. And by signing Rust, the Penguins are telling you they're not going to rebuild. For better or for worse, the Penguins are not going to rebuild. So now, what do the Penguins do? What should the Penguins do? Well, if they sign Letang and not Malkin, they got the same team they had when Malkin was out after his knee surgery. And that was a playoff team, for sure. The Penguins had a better record without Malkin than they did with Malkin. I'll go into the specifics a bit later. So if that's their goal, to just make the playoffs, if that's their goal and they're not looking big picture and not long term, maybe that's what they do is sign Letang. Because that team, minus Malkin, has already been taken for a test drive and it was pretty good. Me, I'd move forward more. Maybe they won't. Maybe Fenway Sports Group doesn't know that much about hockey yet. But with Rust and Letang, it's definitely a playoff team. Well, probably. Because that streak is going to end sometimes. So what is the next step for the Penguins? Do you sign Malkin? Do you sign Letang? Do you sign both? Or do you sign neither? I got a poll up on my Twitter, at Mark Madden X. If you could sign one, who would you sign? Would you sign Chris Letang or Evgeny Malkin? Vote now at Mark Madden X. Tiger shot 9 over, yikes, in the third round at the PGA. And then he withdrew and didn't play in the fourth round. I'm a back or leg, whatever. But the bravery Tiger displayed in just playing, that he displays just getting out of bed in the morning. Well, Tiger is the real PGA champion. I'm sure if you ask Justin Thomas, who actually did win the tournament, I'm sure Justin Thomas would say the Tiger is the real PGA champion. He's also Willie Mays with the New York Mets or Michael Jordan with the Washington Wizards. I got a blog posted on the Mark Madden page at WXDX.com because Tiger on Saturday, UGLY. We will have more on that a little bit later. I guess the time has come to start talking Steelers. We've done that some already, to be honest. OTA start tomorrow. Everybody's talking about this is when we know about Stephon Tuitt. First off, we already know. He's not going to play. I've told you that. And OTAs doesn't matter because the O is not just for organized. It is for optional. I'm just going by what I've been told and by the fact that Tuitt hasn't said anything in months. He's not been seen at Steelers HQ in months. His family hasn't said anything in months. His agent hasn't said anything in months. So if you put forth the notion that Stephon Tuitt coming back is a key to the Steelers having the defense they want to, well, then it looks like they're not going to have the defense they want to. And I think Tuitt should do whatever he feels is right for him. Not only are the Steelers going to give Minka too much for too long, my God, he's only a safety, but they got to figure out what they're going to pay Deontay Johnson or not. That's kind of been shoved to the background, that discussion, because of the Minka story. But Deontay reportedly wants number one receiver money, but he is not a number one receiver. He wants $90 million over 5 years. That's what's being reported. I'd franchise Minka. I'd let Deontay walk after this coming year. But here is a bigger picture. A bigger picture here. When you sign a safety for that kind of money, you're saying we can win right now with this safety. Because a great team signs a great safety to win now. Not as a building block. Safeties aren't building blocks. So the Steelers feel they can win right now because they always feel that way. Let me just kind of shoehorn in. Peter King did his first power ratings for the new season. And America's Finest Football Writer said that he ranks the Steelers 23rd among 32, below teams like Detroit. He ranks them last among the four teams in the division, below even Cleveland. And Peter King says, and I paraphrase, if Mike Tomlin wasn't the coach of this team, I would put them down for 5-12. So that's what America's best football writer thinks about the Pittsburgh Steelers. So getting back to the Deontay debate, the Steelers have never valued wide receivers. Only two wide receivers ever got a second contract in Pittsburgh in the cap era. That's Hines and A.B. And A.B. only got it because Mike Wallace didn't take it, which is something to think about. Mike Wallace did the Steelers a favor, but only for a while. So the Steelers are kind of hard to read right now, but if you want to give Minka big cash and guaranteed, go ahead. Go ahead, knock yourself out, see what it gets you. Watt set a precedent. Minka might hold in, like Watt, show up for camp and not do anything. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN said the Steelers are in no hurry to sign Minka, and that may be true. But they're gonna. We got a lot of Steeler talk today. We're going to talk about the Steelers' very likely quarterback plan. We touched on that this past Friday. We got a lot of hockey talk, too. This McDavid, McJesus, 23 points in his first 10 playoff games. He's in on 55% of Edmonton's goals. They currently lead Calgary in that second-round series by 2-1. Of course, the usual playoff shenanigans are starting. Carolina was losing late yesterday to New York, and Max Domi stirred stuff up. Wonder where he gets that from. No, I like Ty. I like Max, too. And then Milan Lucic ran Mike Smith, the Edmonton goalie. He didn't pulverize him, but he didn't shy away from the collision either, and that's getting a whole bunch of play. Also, in what I think is the biggest news, Greg of Succession is doing a TV commercial for Uber Eats. And in by far the worst news of the weekend, it was close but no cigar for Liverpool Football Club winning the Premier League. Liverpool beats Wolves 3-1, but Man City beats Aston Villa 3-2 after rallying from a 2-0 second half deficit. But we got the European Cup final Saturday, so get a third trophy, that would certainly still make for a fantastic year. Really fantastic, no matter what happens. Nothing would talk about. And I touched upon this at the end of last Steelers season. Remember when Melvin Ingram wanted out because he didn't think he was playing enough? Melvin Ingram was right. He was right because Highsmith ain't that and Watt gets hurt too much. 412-333-WXDX, but we have Brian Rust. Brian Rust got that 6-year deal. He joins me at the bottom of the hour here on 105.9.
And now the super genius, Mark Madden.
How you doing, Mr. Madden? Big fan. Super genius. I love the show.
What he likes ain't legal nowhere but Medellin.
The X at 105.9.
It's time for the Bucco Roundup. The Pirates lost yesterday at PNC Park to St. Louis. The final score was 18-4. A position player was pitching for the Pirates. Pujols is 107 years old, and he hit 2 long home runs. The Pirates are an absolute joke, and you're a moron if you go watch them. I hate when position players pitch. It makes the game silly. Use a pitcher to pitch. What are the Pirates saving their pitchers for? The playoffs? So that is the Bucco Roundup for today. Ron Hextall spoke to the media just moments ago. And he said what you have to say, but a bunch of it's crap. He said, our plan is to continue to try to win the Stanley Cup. FSG was totally on board. Maybe FSG just doesn't know that much about hockey yet because this team is nowhere near winning a Stanley Cup. It has some star players, but they're older, and older teams don't win the Stanley Cup. Let me know the last time that happened. Now, as far as Gino and Tanger go, Hextall said, and I quote, we've had discussions very recently, and we'll continue those. We would like to sign both players. Would like to keep Gino as a Pittsburgh Penguin for the rest of his career. Tanger is the same, unquote. Now, it's possible the Penguins come up off their initial offers to Malkin and Letang because they kind of lowballed Rust at the beginning, and then they found common ground. But I just wouldn't sign Gino because I just don't think he's very good anymore. If you're going to sign one, sign Tanger, and we will invoke that debate to its fullest degree a little bit later. I got a poll up on Twitter if you want to vote now, but if you could sign one of the two, who would you sign? Malkin or Letang? Vote at Mark Madden X. You know what surprised me? You know, you had the one guy collapse and you had the playoff at the PGA and Justin Thomas won it. You know, if all that matters in golf is the ratings, if Tiger can shoot 9 over on Saturday, but we want him on TV because of the ratings, why didn't they just put Tiger in the playoff? If all that matters is the ratings, you know, if you're not, you know, doing sports anymore, if you're doing Entertainment Tonight, why not just put Tiger in the playoffs? That's what I would have done. Somebody asked about the future of Raquel potentially re-signing with the Penguins. I don't know why I would sign with the Penguins now if I'm Raquel, because with Russ staying, Raquel's not going to get to play with Sid. If there was a reason for Raquel to say, you know, money being the primary factor, of course, it would have been to play with Sidney Crosby. Now that's not going to happen. I don't know where Gino's going to wind up if he doesn't re-sign to Pittsburgh. I've always kind of surmised it would be Dallas for any number of reasons. Now people are saying that he might go to Washington. I think that's just being thrown out there by Gino's agent, so the Penguins will sign him because they don't want him to go to Washington. Agents are sneaky, no question. Some I like, some I don't, but agents are sneaky. And Washington, I mean, the last guy they need is Gino at his age. They're aging even less gracefully than the Penguins. I can't think of one good reason for them to sign Evgeny Malkin. A couple things happened in hockey. We talked about Milan Lucic of Calgary running Mike Smith from Edmonton. We talked about Nazem Kadri of Colorado running the goalie Binnington from St. Louis. Now Binnington's out for the rest of the playoffs. And all kinds of excuses are being made for Kadri and Lucic because that's just good hard hockey, eh? But look at these two guys. They're both idiots. Lucic is a cement head. Kadri's a dirty sumbitch. They've both been doing stuff like this constantly. They've both been suspended more than once. So, you know, don't debate, you know, if they did it on purpose. Of course they did it on purpose. You got Daryl Sutter, the Calgary coach, saying, well, imagine if Luch had really run him. Well, yeah, Luch did pull up a little bit, but that's to make it believable. I mean, he hit him hard enough that he had to go into concussion protocol. The goalie did, Mike Smith. So those are just two bad guys. They're Kadri's a good player. Lucic used to be. But the way they approach the game is criminal. And what we saw happen over the weekend just confirms that. There's no debate. I hear guys like Bissonnette and Whitney saying, oh, you know, the same old crap. It's just good hard hockey. You know, Biz is Canadian, Whit's American, but Whit might as well be Canadian. 412-333-WXDX. Up next, we're going to talk with a guy who just signed a 6-year contract extension with the Penguins. He is Brian Rust, just around the corner on 105.9.
And now, the super genius, Mark Madden.
You don't have an option. You think it's the you show? It's the me show.
Hey, what's up, Mark?
Come on. The lights, the robe, the hair, the woo!
The X at 105.9.
Joining me now, he is fresh from signing a new 6-year contract with the Penguins. A pleasure to welcome right-winger Brian Rust. Rusty, congratulations. And the new deal roughly coincides with your son's first birthday, so that's even more reason to celebrate, right?
Yes, absolutely. We actually got news right as the party was finishing up, so we kind of kept the celebration going. It was a fun day.
Well, again, congratulations. Did you leave some money on the table to stay in Pittsburgh? It appears you did. If so, why so?
I think it was more of we were looking for more of a total dollar value that we were comfortable with, and I think I don't know if there was some left over or not, but I think the total dollars that we got there in that deal, I think was fair, and I think was good, and I think we're very happy with it.
Talk about playing on a line with Sid and Jake, which is going to continue moving forward, it would appear. How you fit and why you fit? What makes you good on that line?
Obviously, it's awesome playing with two players like that. But I think for me, it's just go out there to work hard, use my speed to cause some turnovers, get to some open space, and then when there's plays to be made, make the plays. I think done a pretty good job of that over the past however long, and hopefully we can keep that going kind of into the future.
Now, if you don't play with Sid, you get this contract. Where would your stats be? That certainly was a sweetener as far as you negotiate, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think every time you can play with a guy like that, but I think just this organization as a whole, I think tough to leave a place like this. This place treats players, staff, everybody very well, and I think we know that. I think my family knew that, and I think it was definitely important for us to be somewhere we're comfortable. And Pittsburgh is a darn good organization.
Now, Rusty, during your Pittsburgh career, especially early, you moved from wing to wing and line to line, but lately it's kind of stabilized. You've either played with Sid or Gino. Do you feel like those days are over? Do you feel like you're established in that regard?
I'd like to say so, but I think over the course of a season or over the course of time, I think things don't go well for a certain period of time, or if things happen one way or other guys are stepping up or team needs a change or things like that, things can obviously change, but it's definitely been a little bit nice to have a little bit of a stability in terms of where I think I'll play over the past little while.
We're talking to Brian Rust here on the home of the Penguins, 105.9 The X. Rusty, how did you mature as a scorer? Because there had been some lean times in that regard in terms of consistency. What led to the consistency for you?
I think for me it was just each day over the past however many years is trying to learn, trying to watch guys not only on our team but around the league, how they score, how they get time and space all the time, how they're able to capitalize. And I think for me, speed, straightforward, was kind of always my game. But I think my ability to learn how to slow the game down when I need to versus play up tempo and use my speed when I need to, I think the ability to find the right times up for both has helped create some more offense for me and my linemates.
You mentioned you watched guys on your team and on other teams. Who were an example of a couple guys you watched?
It's pretty much the same names around the league that have been there for a while. Obviously, when you're looking at our team, it's Sid, Gino, Jake, those guys who've consistently created offense for a long time. Then around the league, guys like, I don't know, like a Patrick Kane or a Matthews or a Marner or a Marshawn, guys who have been producing a fair amount of offense now fairly consistently and who have their own ways of doing it, but just kind of watching how each and every one of them goes about doing that and can apply it to my own strengths and weaknesses.
Rusty, you said something right after you signed that I really like, that it was important for you to play for one team, you know, to see out your career in Pittsburgh, which this contract is going to get pretty close to doing, I would imagine. Why was that important to you? Because not many guys do that.
In the world of sports, in the world of hockey, it is a rare occurrence for somebody to be able to spend that entirety or most of their entirety of their career with one organization. They eventually either need a change of scenery or things fizzle out or there's some butting heads or whatnot. And for me to be fortunate enough up to this point to not have that occur, and hopefully through the duration of this contract, I think I take a lot of pride in that. It shows that I'm continuing to work and prove my worth and my value, but also be able to be a good character, a player and teammate, and be coachable and be somebody that this organization wants to have around.
Now, what did the Penguins need to do to start winning playoff series again? Because I'm sure you're obviously disappointed by what happened against the Rangers.
Yeah, definitely that one stings a little. Obviously, don't want to see a series go like that, especially when we have a lead like that. I think for us, it's just being able, I mean, every year is different. Every year is different. But I think this year was being able to kind of manage the ebbs and flows of a game when you get a lead, keep your foot on the gas, or when one thing goes wrong, don't let it kind of snowball. And I think we didn't do as good of a job as we could have in those regards.
Now, what's it going to take for this team to not only win a playoff series but contend for a Stanley Cup again? Because it's still a very talented team, obviously, but it's a bit of an older team now too.
Yeah, it definitely some of the guys are getting a little bit older, but I think that can play a little bit to our advantage in a certain aspect. I think you saw during this previous playoff series, we obviously weren't great during the Rangers against the Rangers during the regular season, and then we were able to find ways to be pretty successful against them in the postseason. And I think the ability to have that experience and to have guys know what it takes to win in certain environments, I think that can definitely go a long way. And as far as what our team needs, I think I'm not sure I'm the right person to ask that. I'm just trying to go out there and do my job. Obviously, those guys in charge have been doing it for a while, and they're just going to figure out the right pieces to get and the right buttons to push, and I'm just going to try and follow suit.
Well, speaking of the right pieces, I know you're not involved, Rusty, but, you know, what happens now with Letang and Malkin? I'm sure you hope they're both back.
Yeah, obviously, love those guys. Those guys have become two good friends of mine over the course of the past, whatever, 7, 8 years. Would love to have them back. Those are guys we love to have around. They're obviously world-class players, and they've been a couple faces of this organization for a long time, but at the end of the day, I didn't go fully through what they're going through now, but you got to do what's right for you and what's right for your family. And hopefully there's a deal to be made. Cause I know those two guys are just going to help us.
Now, Ron Hextall just said a few moments ago, that you had minor knee surgery a couple days ago. It looks like it's nothing severe. Is there anything to add to that?
Not too much. It was just fairly minor. Something that had been nagging me. Something that just needed to get cleaned up a little bit, and it was. And I'm on the mend, and it should be resolved fairly quickly, and I'll be good to go 100% long before training camp.
Now, when you first joined the Penguins, you were in the bottom six mostly as a younger guy. At that time, Rusty, did you see yourself elevating? How confident were you that it could come to this someday?
I think for me, it was just always having that confidence in myself. For me, it started out at the USA program when I was 16, 17 years old. I started as a third, fourth line guy, and by the end of my second year there, I had risen to a power play top six guy and was able to make an impact offensively. And then I went off to college, and kind of a similar story. First couple of years was, again, bottom of the lineup, working hard, playing penalty kill. Then towards my junior, senior year, I played in all situations, got more offensive abilities and got more offensive confidence and was able to learn how to score at that level. And then I was able to put up some decent numbers there. And then I feel like that's kind of been the same case in the NHL. I've tried to come in, make my mark, do what I knew was going to make me successful to help the team. And then as time went on, just try and learn how to become better and better offensively without trying to sacrifice spots of the rest of my game. And I think I've done a fairly decent job of that.
And finally, Rusty, do you feel like you've peaked yet in terms of production? Is there another level you can find?
I think that's the goal. The goal is always find another level. You see guys, obviously, my production has come a little bit later in my career, and you see guys have different paths and such trajectories. And you see a guy like Joe Pavelski putting up huge numbers, and he's 37 or whatever the heck he is right now. And I think that's just a sign that, hey, if I keep putting in the work and keep trying to do what I'm doing and keep learning and keep building and try not to get satisfied, I think my numbers and my production can continue to grow and hopefully just keep helping the team win games.
Rusty, thank you for taking the time. And again, congratulations. I think this is a good thing, and we'll see you soon, I hope.
Awesome. Thanks a lot.
That's Brian Rust. 6 years, 30 mil. I liked when he said we were looking at a total figure. Yeah, 30 mil. That's not a bad total figure. 412-333-WXDX. Thanks to Brian Rust. And as always, thanks to Jen Bolano and the Penguins crack PR staff for coming through. We're going to talk more about the contract extension and what's going on with Malkin and Letang on today's show. And we got Phil Bourque to do just that at 4:30. I'm Mark Madden, 105.9.
And now the super genius, Mark Madden.
Double M, what's up? Super genius, how are you?
Terrific.
Your porn stars practice?
Nope, they never have sex unless it's on video.
The X at 105.9.
Hextall confirmed that his press conference today, what is pretty obvious, that Rusty got a lot of years to kind of spread the cap hit out. If they had given him 4 years, as the Penguins apparently originally preferred, they would have had to give him not as much cash, but more cash per year. And then the cap hit is a lot more onerous. So, again, congratulations to Brian Rust. Good guy. I'll be honest, when he came up, I never thought he'd be a top six, let alone a guy who was, I mean, he's not yet scored 30 goals in the season, but in terms of per game over the last year, he's certainly approached that. I'd like to see him stay healthy for a full 82. Not that he's, you know, missing, you know, 30, 40 games a year, but it'd be good if he could put in, you know, 75 games anyway in a season. Then again, when you play like he does, you're going to pick up some bumps and bruises. So that's a good get for the Penguins given the price. I underline that, given the price. That's what makes it a good contract all the way around. And I give Rusty a lot of credit, as we discussed, for wanting to be a guy who just played for one team. That is a very undervalued thing in sports. And I really respect guys who do it and try to find a way to do it like Brian Rust did. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. Who should they sign if they only sign one, Letang or Malkin? Nathaniel tweets, if we get Malkin and Letang at a reasonable price, does that make the Penguins a better team or just spinning their wheels? Just spinning their wheels, to be honest. If you want to make the playoffs, it's good. But I think you can make the playoffs with Letang and without Malkin, and then you can steer your team in a different direction depending on how you use the cap space opened up by not re-signing Malkin. I don't know how much Trocheck would cost, but if Trocheck was your second-line starter instead of Malkin, that'd be an upgrade, 5-on-5. For sure it would be an upgrade, 5-on-5, and in terms of systematic 200-foot play. No question about that. If the Penguins are going to age a little bit and embrace that aging and keep most of the team together, then they got to be more structurally sound. Certainly more structurally sound than they were, quite bluntly, blowing all those leads against the Rangers. That's the choice they have. If they just let the old guys play like the old guys want to, which defines Evgeny Malkin this past season in one phrase, then what happened could happen again, if it even gets to happen, if the Penguins even make the playoffs. No Quarter brought to you by CW Electrical Services. Make the switch at CWElectricalServices.com. I am fascinated by the Stanley Cup playoffs right now. I said before they started, I predicted a Tampa Bay versus Colorado final. And certainly that still may very well happen. But I'd like to see now a Tampa Bay-Edmonton final. Tampa Bay, if they finish off Florida in 4 or 5 games, and boy, what absolute frauds the Florida Panthers have turned out to be after that great regular season. But if Tampa can finish them off in 4 or 5 games and get rest, those older guys who have been through those battles, the 2 straight playoffs, 2 straight Stanley Cups, if they can get some rest with the short series, I have often said on this program, to win a Stanley Cup, it helps a great deal if you get a short series in the first 2. But if Tampa can finish off Florida ASAP, I think then they'll make short work of whoever wins that series between Carolina and the Rangers, because that series to watch so far, I mean, it's been close, but it's been excruciating. It's not been great hockey. And what if you had Tampa Bay and Edmonton in the final? Because Edmonton looks like the team of its time. McDavid looks like the man for this time. He's playing unreal. Like I said earlier, 23 points in his first 10 playoff games. I think only Gretzky, Lemieux, and Rick Middleton have done that in a playoff year. And if Tampa Bay and Edmonton played in the final, you know what that would be very reminiscent of? Let's see, the Islanders won cups in 80, 81, 82, 83. And in 83 and 84, they played the Edmonton Oilers in the finals. And the Islanders won the first year, Edmonton won the second year. And then Edmonton, of course, dominated the rest of the decade. And that was a very clear passing of the torch. And if you had Tampa Bay play Connor McDavid in the final this year, boy, it would ring a lot like that. So that's what I'm rooting for. That'd be good TV. McDavid's level of play, and I've not always been real complimentary of McJesus because he's not won anything yet. But now, boy, he appears to be on the path. He appears to have the oars on the path. Like I mentioned earlier, he's responsible for scoring or setting up 54%, 55% actually of Edmonton's goals. He's a regular Mo Salah running down the wing. And I have not seen a player play like this in the playoffs. With all due respect to the Penguins, Conn Smythe winners in 09, 16, and 17, namely Gino in 09 and Sid in 16 and 17, I've not seen a player play like this in the playoffs since Mario, when he won his 2 Conn Smythes for playoff MVP in 91 and 92. And I've been saying in conversations with friends, I have long maintained that the top 5 players in hockey history right now are Lemieux, Orr, and Gretzky in some order with the top 3. Sidney Crosby and Gordie Howe in some order in the next 2. But with Ovechkin scoring all these goals and McDavid playing like he is, we may have to I don't know about reorganizing the top five very much, but we may have to look at like a top seven or eight, you know, all seven or eight players in the same reverence, the same class, because one reason I've talked about the top five is because whoever was number six, and that was probably, to my mind, Rocket Richard, although I never saw him play, I felt the gap below those top six was considerable from six to seven, from Richard to whoever. And now you have guys really closing that gap and entering the company we're talking about when you speak about guys like Ovechkin and McDavid. I'll give an example. I'm a big, big Steve Yzerman fan. And he's probably in my top 10 of all time. But the guys we just mentioned, the top five plus maybe Ovechkin and McDavid, I don't feel like Stevie Y is anywhere near their class. As great as he was. That's no insult, but McDavid and Ovi are kind of reorganizing the way I'm thinking on all of this, and that's certainly a compliment to both of them and the way they're playing. Let's go to Tom in Greensburg. Tom, you're on with Mark.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I just want to throw my two cents out there. I think it would be a huge mistake for the Pens to even offer that five-year, $15 million for Malkin.
Yeah,
I think
he wants more than 5 years, $15 million? No, that's ridiculous. He wants like $20 million over three. I can't see a reason to bring him back regardless of price just because I think you need to change the team at least a little bit, and that would affect the most change and give you operating room under the cap. I do think if they want to make the playoffs, they should bring back Letang, but I'm not sure I'm for that either. I'm not sure it's worth making the playoffs to just stay – to just stand pat like that, as much as that would be.
Well, with Malkin, you know, he's playing like he thinks he's 25 years old.
That's
he hasn't
right.
adapted his game at all.
That's right.
Sid, on the other hand, has adapted his game.
Well, no, Sid hasn't really adapted his game, Tom. Sid was ready-made when he was 13 to play at 35. His game translates all the way through his career because he's always colored inside the lines and played 200 feet.
That's true.
And one thing that can't be underestimated when it comes to Sid versus Malkin, and for that matter, Gino versus Malkin. Sid and Letang are in much better shape than Malkin and much more dedicated to maintaining that.
I agree. 100%.
Thank you for the call. I'm very sad today because a friend of mine, Frank B. Fuhrer, has passed away at the age of 96. I've known Mr. Fuhrer since I was a kid, literally. Kid going to tennis matches at the Pittsburgh Civic Arena. Mr. Fuhrer was a great man, a great Pittsburgher, and a Pittsburgh sports icon. Mr. Fuhrer owned the Pittsburgh Spirit soccer team, the Pittsburgh Triangles of World Team Tennis, which I just referenced. He invested in the Pirates, and he was a great friend to golf especially. He ran golf tournaments. And he sold, like, all the beer in Pittsburgh. Frank B. Fuhrer Wholesaling. If you drink a beer today, chances are you got it from Mr. Fuhrer. So raise a toast to him when you do, because Mr. Fuhrer was just a great guy. A big influence on me. One thing I learned from Mr. Fuhrer, he demanded and gave loyalty in equal parts. I do that, too. It was an honor to have known Mr. Fuhrer, and I'm going to miss him. So, Frank B. Fuhrer, RIP. I remember Mr. Fuhrer at Spirit practice at Lakeview Ice Palace on Route 8. This cold, cold building that put carpet over the ice rink. He showed up every day. Didn't say much, but he kept an eye on his investments. A great guy to work for. Demanding, but a great guy to work for. So, that's my tribute to Mr. Fuhrer. Up next, going to talk about Tiger Woods. And you won't like what I have to say, but listen anyway. 105.9 The X.